Once upon a time, there were two traveling angels. And as they were traveling, they often needed a place to spend the night. So one night, they arrived at the home of a very rich man and his wife. Now, the rich man and his wife were rude and selfish, so they didn't invite the angels into their guest suite of their large mansion, but instead directed them to the cold basement with a hard floor. And as the angels were getting their bed ready, the younger angel noticed the older angel go over to a hole in the wall of the basement and begin to repair it. And that angel was puzzled and said to the older angel, I don't understand what you're doing. And he replied, things are not always as they seem. And so the next morning they left that home and were traveling on again. The following night they stayed at the home of a poor farmer and his wife, who welcomed them in to their home and shared their little amount of food they had for supper with them and offered them their own bed to sleep in while they sat up in the night. When the angels awoke the next morning, the couple was sitting there crying. And the younger angel wanted to know what happened, and it seems that in the middle of the night, their only possession, a cow that provided for their entire income in the field, had died. They woke up and found the cow dead. And the younger angel could not bear it anymore and said to the older angel, I don't get it. I don't understand it. That night we spent with those greedy, selfish people, you were there fixing their wall. And now these people, the cow is dead, and you didn't stop it. What's going on? And the older angel said, things aren't always as they seem. Those people were so greedy and selfish that night, and I happened to notice in the wall of the basement there was some hidden gold, and so I plastered it up so that they wouldn't find it because they wouldn't share what they had. And last night while we were asleep in the farmer's bed, the angel of death came to take the wife, and I gave him the cow. Things aren't always as they seem. That could be the title of the story from the book of Samuel, about Samuel, the judge and prophet, when he was sent by God to anoint the next king of Israel. It was time to move on. Saul had been out of favor with God. He knew what God wanted him to do and didn't do it. The details don't really matter for this story. God charged Samuel with finding and anointing the next king. This is what he said. I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you. He picked a good guy in Samuel. Samuel was accustomed to following God from a very young age. He was the one, remember, with Eli, who kept hearing God's voice and not knowing what it was. As soon as he knew it was God's voice, he said, here I am, send me. Here I am, your servant listens, all throughout his life. These are the ways he replied to God. So if God wanted something done and wanted somebody to understand his will, Samuel was the man. And you heard the story. Samuel goes to the house of Jesse. Jesse's got a lot of sons. He has 8 of them. And so it's Samuel's job to have them all parade in front of him so that he can find out which one of them will be the next king. And I'm sure when he was sitting there and the first one came through, Eliab came through, and as soon as Samuel honed in on him, he must have said, that's the guy. Boy, I'm done soon. Only had to see one. He was tall and handsome. He was the eldest. He'd been groomed to be a leader. God whispers in his ear, "He's not the guy. Keep going." Well, Samuel must have been very shocked, but still kept the folks coming. The next six go through, and each time Samuel is assured by God that these are not the king, these are not the king. And finally, the sons are gone. And he says, "Don't you have any more sons?" "Oh, sure I do, but he's out in the field with the sheep. You don't want him to come in here." Well, in fact, he did. And when David walked in, he knew. Samuel knew. That's the guy. And why? Because the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He chose character above charisma and potential for leadership as opposed to potential for power. He chose essence over appearance. And that's the story of how David became an unlikely king. Things are not always as they seem. That's the story of the angels. It's the story of Samuel, but it's also the story of humanity, which is our story. We look on appearance, don't we? We walk down the street and we notice in the crowd, are they old or young? Are they educated or not? Are they dressed well or not? Do they look strong, athletic? Are they black or white? Does it appear they have a command of the language? Are they covered with tattoos? Do they have body piercings? Making judgments about all of those facts that we see. That's just what we do. It's a bias. Samuel had the same bias, and we have the same bias as well. I don't know if you remember it's not a drug, it was a supplement called Airborne, under the category of we believe what we want to believe. Airborne was created in 1999. It's a vitamin kind of fizzy thing that you take, and it was billed as a germ fighter and a germ protector for when you got on an airplane with all that stale air or went in a classroom with sniffly first graders. And in 10 years, it was started by a second grade teacher, and in 10 years, the first 10 years, they made $10 million. Until someone asked, how do we really know that it fights germs? And you know the story probably. It became a class action lawsuit, false advertising. It actually does not prevent germs. It doesn't prevent you from catching a cold. Turns out the clinical evidence wasn't clinical. It wasn't even evidence. $30 million later, the lawsuit was settled. And now if you buy a box of Airborne, still on the market, it says, supports the immune system. I feel like saying, taking a walk every day supports my immune system. Drinking water supports your immune system. Eating healthily supports your immune system. But they have a good product, and we believe what we want to believe. It's kind of the underlying fact of things aren't always as they seem. The problem is we're exchanging what's immediate for what's important. That's the problem with judging by appearance rather than by the heart. But you see, for God, that's easy. For us, it's not so easy to put that aside. Some of it is subconscious. Most of it is instantaneous. And so it's really hard to fight. But fight it we can, and we must. There are ways of coming to terms with this. Looking for God in unlikely places is the first way. Jesus looked for spirit in the most unlikely places, in prostitutes and tax collectors and the rejects of society. Samuel found a king in a very unlikely place, the last born shepherd. And so we can do that too. We can follow that path to look for God in unlikely places. Another way to do it is to be aware of our own biases. We all have different biases. They're really hard to find, though. As I mentioned, subconsciously, it's really hard to dig them out. There is a place, though, in the Harvard Social Sciences Department where they have an online test called Implicit Association Test, IAT. I'm not sure those are the right words, but Implicit Association Test, where you take a test, it's a research study, and it teaches you about your biases. And there's scores for race, gender, athleticism, gender identification, all kinds of things where you can test yourself and find out a little bit, gee, I really do have that bias. That way I look at someone first rather than wait for the heart. But see, that's the problem. When we see someone, it's so fast to judge instantly about someone by their looks. It takes time to find out what's going on in the heart. It takes time to diffuse the instant judgment and move on. There was a man who did this very successfully. His name was Henri Nouwen. Maybe you know him. Born in 1932, he died in the 90s. He was a Catholic priest. He was a prolific writer, lecturer at the Harvard Divinity School, and very well known, in demand everywhere as a lecturer. And he began to feel burnt out by the intellectual pursuits and the demands of his schedule. Although he could have ridden out his life doing whatever schedule he wanted because he was in such demand. But after a chance meeting with Jean Vanier, who's the founder of L'Arche, it's a worldwide organization where residences and communities are set up for people with developmental disabilities to live with assistance in community. And Henri was invited to one, stayed there for about a month, and later decided to spend the rest of his life, which was 10 years at the time, serving in this community. And he occasionally went out still on the lecture circuit and always brought with him one of the people who lived in the community to help him talk about spirituality. He turned his bias around. He was able to look at the heart. And he's a good example. So, whom are we going to give a chance to, or take a chance on, or anoint? That will require some work on our part. But God is with us to lead us and to whisper in our ear, look at the heart. Because things are not always the way they seem. Amen.